And welcome to the first episode of Coffee and Comics. Sean will be here and we will be talking the shit out of some comics and drinking some fucking coffee. All right.
Two of my favorite things.
And what will you be drinking today, Sean? What type of coffee?
Today is a Chock Full of Nuts medium blend.
Ooh, sounds exotic. And what kind of creamer will you be using?
Today is, I think it's called Left Farms Vanilla. Healthy and delicious.
My. I will be using a Arabian blend, and I will be doing the butter cookie creamer. Yes, ooh, it tastes just like a butter cookie.
That sounds delicious.
And I just choked on my coffee.
Hmm.
All right, so since it is not just about coffee, although we probably could do a pod all about coffee, let's do some comic talk. Let's see what's going on in the world of comics. George Perez retiring. What are your feelings on George, the great Perez, retiring from the world of comics?
I feel the man's deserved it. He's put his time in. Mm. He's done the work, you know, and at his age, come on, he's been doing this so long. He's given so much. Let the man enjoy retirement. I don't want to see him work to death like some other people who I remain nameless. Let him have it.
Jack Kirby.
Yeah, basically.
Jack Kirby was worked to death. Steve Ditko, I mean, come on. Yeah, Bill Finger worked to death. He literally died alone in an apartment. He working. I mean, come on. That's fucking sad. I don't want George to go out like that.
I don't think George is going like that, but I hate to see him because I don't like the trend I see in the comic industry a little bit. You'll see so many people, and it's like they're just at these cons, and you like almost see them dying inside. Like, dude, come on. Retire. Maybe do a con if you really want once or twice a year. Let him enjoy retirement. Like, you know, he's worked his ass off long enough.
Right.
He's deserved it.
George was forced to retire because of health issues between diabetes, heart problems. I mean, he's just got the works done to him. And I get it. I mean, like you said, he put in the work. I mean, the man has given us some of the most iconic images that we could ever ask for in comics. Retire, man. Have fun. I mean, that's it. You've done it. You've done it all.
Pretty much. Although, I wouldn't be surprised if we see maybe every so often like a variant cover out of nowhere, something he can take his time on. I don't think he'll do monthlies or limiteds anymore, but I could see like one popping up here and there. Because as far as I can tell, he loves what he does, so I don't think he'll be able to just stop.
Right.
So I could see something like that maybe.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's given us some of the most, like I said, iconic images. Infinity Gauntlet covers. Infinity, he did the artwork and he did the covers. Iconic covers. The Come At Me Thanos cover. The number one with the Infinity Gauntlet that's been mocked so many goddamn times in variant covers.
Not to mention one of my personal favorite, if not my favorite, top comic of all time. That's one of the greatest covers that I know of. I can't think offhand because I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely top, one of the top, one of my favorites.
So, I mean, you think about his run in the 80s. He did the covers for, and he did the artwork for the new Teen Titans.
Yeah, a lot of that was great.
And that was the run that he did with Wolfman.
That's why we do the research before normal episodes, so
no,
we don't have to think on the fly.
There's no research on this. This is straight off the top of my head. Let's see, George Perez, his run in the 80s on Wonder Woman. You know, he was the creator of Themyscira. I mean,
so he did that that fantastic Wonder Woman number one, the one
yes,
I got before the movie. I love that cover. It is such a like intricate cover. There's kind of a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of my favorite. Well, is one of my favorite Wonder Woman comics. I really like the cover for that one.
He did the covers and the interior work for Crisis on Infinite Earths. I mean, all 12 issues is all Perez. I mean, incredible.
Yeah, the Superman one of that is another one of those iconic covers everybody knows.
Yeah, so I mean, like we said, man, George put in the work. And you know what? Enjoy retirement, buddy.
Yeah, he's definitely earned it.
Now, speaking of retirement, he's come out of retirement. Frank Castle, man, The Punisher Season 2. Holy shit. The first episode is entirely better than the entire first season of Punisher.
I've been hearing good things. Apparently, they're finally going to do the Punisher series and not the Frank Castle series.
Yeah, it finally feels like the actual Punisher. And it honestly, it has that Punisher Max feel. And I know that you love Punisher Max.
What's not the love, man? Garth Ennis, to this day, does the best Punisher. And I'm pretty much convinced nobody will ever do him better. It is. It's that good.
I'm at the coffee. But yes, Punisher Max was amazing. Garth Ennis going balls to the wall, whatever he wanted. Marvel was like, cool, this is the Max series. You can do whatever you want. They gave him clearance.
Yeah, that, and you that first
don't,
run.
You don't let Garth Ennis off the chain. He's one of them. He's one of those writers where you really need to leash him in if you're not on like a Vertigo or a Max, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, he'll go for it. And I've never read the he did a Punisher that was just Marvel Knights, which was still like their slightly edgy one. I didn't read that one. But his Punisher Max, I believe it was from 2004 to this day, Mother Russia, still one of the most badass Punisher stories I've ever read. Love it. That whole run was just so good, because it was like if you took the world of like Goodfellas with that kind of mentality and stuff and put in the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
You're just having a damn good time.
Yeah, and you also got those amazing Tim Bradstreet covers. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Very, very good stuff.
You know, you don't see Tim Bradstreet doing much anymore, do you? I can't think of the last cover that I've seen Tim Bradstreet do. That maybe it was a variant that I missed, but I don't really see him doing any, like, any monthly series.
I know he did something recently, because I know I've seen his name on something, but I don't remember. But, as far as I know, he's not doing any monthly stuff that I'm aware of. Mind you, you know, there's like, I don't know, 100 or some comics a week. So, you know, I might have missed it. But to my knowledge, I don't think he is, and it's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
And he did – Bradstreet did Kingdom Come, right? Isn't that him?
Kingdom Come. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't – No, that wasn't Alex Bradstreet. I was going to say that's Alex Ross, yeah.
He did another big series, and
he did a lot of the Hellblazer covers, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, which is why they're awesome.
Yeah.
Especially when, once again, I believe, was it the smoking one, the cigarette burns? I think you got Ennis and Bradstreet again.
Yeah, it had the ghost in the cigarette smoke. It's just such a badass cover. He did the one with the shark in the puddle. Thought that one was really cool.
Man. You get them two together, you're going to have a good time.
Now, the artwork for Punisher Max was Tim Bradstreet, right? The interior?
I think so. It's been a minute.
Was it like a realistic style looking, like almost like a painting in a way?
Not as real as the cover, which I don't think you can do feasibly.
Yeah.
Or at least not at the time. Maybe now. I don't know. But still, man, if you're a fan of the Punisher and you're watching the Netflix series and you like what you see, go read Garth Ennis Punisher Max 2004. They just put out a complete collection series. I don't know if it's finished, but that's, you can get it in trades. That's good shit.
Also, if you want the prequel to that, is Marvel Knights. And I think it's only how many issues was that? It wasn't a lot. It was like maybe 20 or so. And then it turned into Punisher Max.
That wasn't bad. And then there's before the Max series started, they had the Punisher Born series. And there's like four or five issues of that.
Is that the one where he was in Vietnam, like his prequel story?
Yeah, and the cool thing about that is when they released it, technically the Punisher Max Born series, it's like Punisher Born, mm-hmm. that is the technical first appearance of the Max Universe Punisher. Mm. So that's always kind of cool. His series, you only ever see Nick Fury that I'm aware of. You don't really see many people outside of the Punisher's universe, but it just works. Mm. Yeah, there's another Max series that I think they did later on where they added more. But for Punisher, like if you just want really good Punisher stuff while you're there, that's him. You know, basically he picks out a group, you know, whether it be mob, sex traffickers, you know, all the dirty side of humanity, and it's really, really shown in the series and kind of just takes them out.
You're telling me that Garth Ennis wrote about the gritty dirt of culture? Is that what you're
Yeah. Yeah, well back when you were allowed to talk about it. You were allowed to talk about it then, so it was fine. Now it's like, oh, he's really evil and wants to take over a dimension. Okay. Well, he isn't a sex trafficker, because that is not happening.
Yeah. Man, Garth Ennis, man, he did a run with Ghost Rider. He did that Heaven and Hell, wasn't it?
I think that's what it
was
called.
That shit was just fucked up.
Dude, Garth Ennis, he does Preacher. So, you know, the man, if you want that, it's not always just violent and language, which is there a lot of the times.
Mm.
But he takes these two elements, which most people would just use, and he also makes really, really good stories. That's what I like about his work. Like, you read some of the Max books, and you're like, okay, they can, you know, cuss a little bit more. There's a little blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they take the easy way. But he was like, you know, let's take the violence, let's take the language, let's take all these adult themes and also make an adult story, you know, with all these really, you know, nasty elements of the world and how people kind of are. And that's what I really liked about that series. Like, it didn't feel like we were in this little superhero bubble. Yes, he's the Punisher, so he is a hero and whatnot. But it was kind of, I liked the fact that they were, like, telling stories of shit that happens. Like, you know, like regular criminals. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even if it is in a very exaggerated way, because now, you know, you read comics, and for the most part, from what I'm reading, they kind of tiptoe around some of the more sensitive stuff, and it's not with Garth Ennis. If he's writing it, you're getting right into the nasty.
Well, you got to remember, this is now a PG America. You know, you really can't have things like Punisher Max and some of the Vertigo titles running nowadays. I mean, it would just offend so many parents on so many levels.
Obviously, the proof is with the bat dog.
I mean, that's kind of why Garth Ennis has been kind of subjugated to, I'm not going to say lower brands like Boom, you know,
companies like that. Image.
Right.
I think he does Image, right? Isn't The Boys Image, which just got a series?
I'm pretty sure. Or no, was it? No, The Boys was Dynamite.
Was it?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they're not as popular. I mean, I'm not saying that the quality is bad. I'm saying that they're not as popular as, say, Marvel, DC, or maybe even Image. So he has to kind of, there's not as much publicity. You know what I mean? Like, it's on a lower level. It's more low key. So he can get away with shit like that. Yeah. He just put out something, didn't he? Like, back in October, he just, what the shit was it called? Something from Hell. Walk Through Hell? That's Garth Ennis.
Oh, a view from Hell.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he
yeah,
just
that
put
was,
out
that
something.
Was Image. That was Image.
Oh, okay. Well, see, he's still making moves.
I think it's a shame that odds are I'll never see his name above the Punisher logo again, or on the bottom left corner, depending on the book.
Depends on if it's that stupid legacy stamp they have now. I miss the old 90s Marvel logo, the big M with the Marvel, with the, you know, the like almost like graffiti text, you know what I mean?
Oh.
I love that logo. That shit was great.
The only thing that I really don't like about modern comics, and it's something that I really wish the comic community would get on,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see advertisements on my covers. Ever.
Yeah. Unless it's like a promotional thing. Like when Batman v Superman was coming out, they had all those company-wide variant covers, you know, that had like scenes from the movies and shit in it.
Well, that's a variant. I'm fine with that. When I get my original comic, I don't want a banner across the top, or like when I have a really cool cover and then on the bottom right there's this stupid "Go see Suicide Squad in theaters" on the bottom corner.
Right.
I'm one of the, like, I don't like to think myself as too snobby, but when it comes to comic covers, especially the really memorable ones, when you think of all the comic covers you remember, do you remember a big, I don't know, Toys R Us logo, like some of the old ones, or a
yes.
movie promo in the bottom right?
Yes, I do. I do remember Toys R Us.
Yeah, but only on Mr. Freeze.
No, on some of the older Marvel books, there was always that "Enter this Toys R Us shopping spree" contest.
Yeah. Which there are those, but you know what I mean. In general, you know what I mean. I don't want that advertising crap on my cover. You, on the back of the book, go to town. I don't mm-hmm. care. You could cover the damn thing head to toe. You know, I don't care. But on the front of the cover, I like just the logo and whatever image they want to do, and that's what I want. I don't want none of the crap.
I miss seeing the advertisements. It was almost like a couple of pages out of the Yellow Pages. You know, it had all these like advertisements for, you know, here, get fit, thinner sooner, you know.
Oh, you mean the 70s, like, yeah. Hey, by the way, try this new toy set. That's pretty sweet.
Right.
Like the random, like, yellow. It was like in the middle of the book. You're just like, okay, I don't really need that, but okay.
Yeah, send away for this and we'll mail you back this. And then you buy the book in like dollar bin or something and it's missing part of the page because somebody cut out the fucking stamp that you had to send in.
I had a very incident about that on eBay. That stamp is the reason I own two copies of First Appearance of Colleen Wing.
Because somebody took the Wolverine stamp out.
Yep, they took out the stamp and I messaged them and I was like, this book isn't complete.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, sorry, sent me my money back. I bought another one. Well, I think he sent me another one. I can't remember, but I have two. One's signed by the actress, and one's my reader copy. But I have two now.
Hmm.
Yep. Jessica Henwick. That's her name.
Ah, see, I knew you would remember. It would take a couple seconds, but I knew you'd remember.
Yep. It's like one of the only actresses I ever paid for at a con, and let me tell you, they put you in your place. Yep, $40. Sweet, we get this signed. Yeah, I'll take your phone out. You didn't pay the premium thing to get a photo taken with us. You don't take our photo. You get your book signed for $40, and you get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that kind of makes me think of we went to Baltimore Comic Con a couple of years ago, and the girl that plays Iris West on The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody pulled the fire alarm, so everybody had to go outside, including the celebrities. So everybody was trying to take their picture with her. And they kind of had to have security, like, force them back. Because, you know, she was charging per picture. But, you know, she's outside. Why not? Try to get it.
Yeah. Which, I get it. That's money in their pocket. But at the same time, if I was there on that day, I'd be snapping photos.
Yeah, but at the same time, you think about the celebrities are already paid for.
That's true.
You know, they're not going by commission here. You know, the artists, same way. They're already, the writers, the artists, you know, everybody, they're already paid for.
I was so, just disappointed that you can't take a photo of them. You know what I mean?
Of who? The celebrities.
Yeah, like I get, like when I pay for an autograph, I get that I can't get a photo of us together because you're charging, and that's fine, but I should still be able to take a picture of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't see, because it's $40 for a signature. I don't know. I just feel like it's a bit much, and some of these people, like, you know, heaven forbid you're a Supernatural fan, it's like $200.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think they forget at these cons that some of us, there is poor people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we paid $40 to get in, you know, and that's like, and then we got to pay for parking, and then we got to pay for, you know, lunch, and you know, we got expenses that we have to go through. It's not just all buy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, when we first went, because it's even went up. The first year we went, it was like 25. Now it's like 36.
Right.
And, you know, first of all, I'm paying to get in here, almost $40 that, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I'm a normal person. I don't have a lot of money. So I'm going here for like $200, maybe three on a good day. So I'm paying $30 to get in, $40 to meet a celebrity, you know, lunch is another like $20. And then, you know, I pay to meet all these people. Guess what? Oh, sorry. Line's been capped. Or
oh, yeah, that line capping shit. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry, the line's been capped, so one of the guys you paid that $40 to meet, you're not even going to meet. Oh, you wanted his signature? Well, unfortunately, he ducked out. Sorry. Now, I get it, you know, if emergencies happen, that's completely, you know, fine. But when you get some of these guys are just like, yeah, I'm done. Like, dude.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts a little bit. And for me, like, I was disappointed that I didn't get to meet Mark Waid. He rolled out, but I did find out that I met him the following year. He had a family emergency, and he was a really, really cool guy, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are really cool like that. Like, there's some artists and writers that'll just talk your ear off. I remember that time that we met Scott Snyder over at Third Eye Comics, and you held up the fucking line for like 20 minutes just talking to Scott. I'm pretty sure people wanted to kill you because it was like 10 degrees outside and the line was all the way out around the building.
I'm getting my 2 hours of waiting worth.
Yeah, we did wait a while for Scott. God damn. And it was freezing cold. They brought us coffee, but Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yeah.
But Scott was, he was very cool and very friendly, like, for being, like, I think even at that time he was still, like, DC's current top writer guy. And
yeah, he was still doing Batman at the time.
Yeah, if you remember, we, like, halfway through, we're like, okay, we got it, and we start to walk away, and he's like, no, come here, So let me tell you that. And yeah. It's just so funny. And the fact that, on top of talking to us for that while, he actually stayed longer than he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, he was supposed to be out, and he was like, no, all these people waited, they froze their ass off, and he said, I'm staying until everybody gets their book signed. And I thought, you know, Scott Snyder was there, we didn't pay nothing to meet him on that day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stayed... just to make sure all the fans that paid, you know, that were there and went through all that, they got their book signed. And yet at Comic-Con, where I pay to get in, they roll out and they're sitting in a warm little, you know, convention center drinking coffee, and you can't stay for the full time. It just kills me. That's why I didn't go last year, and I probably won't go this year, at least not to Baltimore. Because honestly, and I think you agree with me, we pay all this money to get in, and there's no guarantee we're going to meet the people we paid to get in to meet.
Yeah,
that's a little harsh.
Yeah, that's what kind of turns me off about the con scene now, is that it's just. I mean, it's always been a money making, you know, enterprise. I get it, but at the same time, there's poor people in the world. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And what was it? Last year I was there because we ended up going separately the last year. I was trying to find a relatively common book. And it's gotten so bad with the whole, because of movies and TV shit with comics,
mm-hmm.
everybody had a graded copy. Like, goddamn, I just want the book. I don't have $400.
Yeah, you just wanted it raw. And that's how I like it. You know, if I want to get it graded, I'll get it graded. You know what I mean? Like, that's my choice. But to buy a graded copy, and because the price inflates so much depending on condition, it just makes it difficult to find these key books now, because everybody's trying to make that money. So they're sending them in, getting them graded, and it makes finding raw books very difficult.
Very. And it's almost unfair. Like, I get everybody wants to make money, but man, there was a time when we started this that it's so hard to find that excitement now of going to flea markets and finding these key books, because now everybody thinks every issue they have is a key book. So, you know, it's really hard to find these little places where you're like, oh, hey, look what I just found. Because now everybody's like, money, 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 you know?
Right, but there are some places, you know, like Collector's Corner, you know, that'll throw in minor, you know, not big-time key books, you know. They'll throw in minor keys, and they'll put them in their bargain bins and say, go find them. And that way, you know, you're searching through the entire bin. That way, if you see something you like, ooh, I like this, and then you keep getting that while you're looking for that book. It's smart. But it's also... very kind of them, because they could have, you know, even a reader copy of, say, you know, like that Infinity Gauntlet that I found for you.
My first thing.
Even the reader copy of that right now is like a $30 book. You know what I mean? Like, they could have made something off of that, but they didn't.
That's one of the things I really like about Collector's Corner, and of course I will promote the hell out of them. Really great guy that owns the store. When it comes to them,
yeah, Randy is the man.
He very much is.
Yeah.
And their bargain bin, they're not nearly as bad as other people, because there's good issues in there. Like, you'll easily find a few $5 books in there, a few, you know, good stuff in there. So on top of a pretty sweet bargain bin that he does fill and circulate books pretty often, unlike a certain other store.
Oh yeah.
He really, really fills it, and that's great, because you always want to go through all of it, and it's, you know, I enjoy looking through the books as much as buying them. It's just really fun.
Yeah.
And then
it sends a tingle from your spine to your asshole whenever you're like, ooh, a long box.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, heaven forbid, you're digging through and you find that one book you need. Like, you got the whole run, you need that one issue, and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Look what I just found.
It sends like sensations through your whole body. It's like your whole body is tingly. At least it is for me. I don't know about you.
Oh, absolutely. There's, especially in my particular case, if I'm going through the bargain bin and I find a book I don't have that has like X-23 on it, or a pretty sweet like Daredevil book, or, you know, something like that, it's great, you know. And one of the last ones I found, it wasn't a major book, but I found the first appearance of Liara.
Mm-hmm.
She was big in the Jeff Johns Green Lantern. I was like, yeah, that's fucking awesome. Right there in the bin. I've been looking for the book for a couple of years. A buck.
Mine.
And on top of, you know, a great bargain bin, Collectors also does this really, really good thing that I like called sales.
Mm.
So
every now and then to clear up some space because Randy seems to really understand the good thing about comics. Like, nobody's buying all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have a big sale. Clean it out. Throw in the new stock. Keep things circulated. He really gets that. So you'll go there, and all of a sudden, one of the books you wanted, well, they're having a 70% off sale. Now you can get that book you wanted. And I really like the fact that he does that. Because some of the other stores I've been to, they'll just hold on to shit. They'll hold on to shit till the store burns down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, you have like 30 copies of these. Nobody's buying it. You never have sales. You know, you only have the same stuff. And then you just stop going because you're like, you know, I've seen everything they got.
Yep.
So I definitely love the way that store does it. And if you're not picking this up by now, go to Collector's Corner in Maryland.
Yeah. At three different locations in Parkville, Bel Air, and downtown Baltimore. Is it downtown Baltimore?
It is. It is. But
It's on North Street or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, go there. Support your local comic shops.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. Third Eye Comics in Annapolis, Maryland. Very awesome. Yeah.
They've upped their game. Third Eye, I've been there within the last year, which I know sounds crazy, but I don't live close. But even they've upped their game.
They have two different locations now.
Do they?
Yeah, I think they have two locations now.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you should really go out and support your local comic shops, honestly. Yeah. It's cool to buy shit on eBay, but who's that really benefiting? Come on.
For me, eBay is like the last resort. If I go to collectors and I go to my local books and I can't find it, then I'll bite the bullet and go to eBay. If it's something really important, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If it's something I can't play the waiting game for, like maybe I want to read it or maybe I think it's going to go up. But I definitely try to avoid eBay because the pictures don't always do it justice.
No.
And you don't know what you're going to get. But like I was just saying about the Colleen Wing, that was eBay.
Mm.
And luckily I dealt with a really cool person who was like, okay, I didn't know it was missing or he didn't look or whatever. And he gave me my money back or replaced the book. I can't remember which way it happened now. But, you know, with eBay, you just don't know. Yeah. You know, I bought a Spider-Man 600, I think it is, which is the first appearance of Fury, and it was an issue I really wanted, and I'll have to buy another copy later in life, but what looked like glare to me is actually a small, like, cover damage on the top left corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, point proven right there, which is fine. I still have the book.
So did they leave that out of the picture on eBay? Is that why you didn't know?
It was in the picture, but okay. I thought, because it was in bagging board, it looked like glare. I thought it was just light reflecting off the corner.
Okay.
And I didn't, so I was like, oh, well, that's fine. And the picture's on my Instagram. But, you know, it's a little damaged, but at the same time, it's still good enough for me that I'm like, you know what? I only paid $2 for it, and I have the book.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, God willing, I'll find a better copy. But for now, I at least own it because I really like Yuri from Amazing Spider-Man. So, yeah, just one of them things with eBay. That's why it's better to go to the shop. You can hold the book. You can see what you're getting.
Right.
You know.
See it in that lovely glass case.
Exactly. You hold both issues up and give it to your sighted friend and tell him to give you the good one.
Yeah. Which one's better, Ray? Yeah. I actually have an eBay story that's actually a little bit opposite of yours. When we got your Christmas gift last year, not last year, 2017, when we got you that Teen Titans, the first modern Teen Titans. You know which one?
My first Starfire. One of my top five favorite books.
So the person that sold us that, and it's also first appearance of Cyborg, by the way.
And Raven, I think.
Yeah. And anyway, the person that sold the book on eBay put it at a 4.0, a reader copy. You know, it's okay. When you got the book, it was in perfect condition. Like, not maybe not like an 8 or anything, but it was at least a 7. So the people that are putting these books out are misgrading them. And selling, and they're ripping themselves off. But
it worked out for me because that was a book I really wanted. It was the one I was mentioning earlier that I couldn't find at Comic-Con. Everybody had it graded, and it was like $100 to $200. I saw one was like 5. It was like a 9.8 CGC, and I'm like, yeah, I can't afford no $500. And
before he goes on, by the way, we do not support the CGC. Okay, we are CBCS guys for life. Okay.
Yes. Go on. Very, very nice people. The two graded books I own are both CBCS. Very nice. And the So that book, you know, I went out to get it, and that was the one. It was right before the Titan series, which is, man. You know, I was trying to get it, and just one of those things. That copy I got from Ray, luckily they were able to get me a copy for Christmas, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That book is perfect. As far as I'm concerned, I got the book. That's my copy. One day when the funds replenish, I plan to get it graded before I die.
Yeah.
That's done. I have the book. You know, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, all it had was a couple of nicks in the cover. Like, and they weren't even serious nicks. They looked like little, just tiny little slits. I mean, they weren't even, it wasn't like the book was like missing staples and shit.
Yeah. And if you're on Instagram, look for the account Born20083. You can see these books I'm talking about. I post all my comic finds on that Instagram. I dedicate to just comic stuff.
Oh, okay. I might even have to follow you. Oh, wait, I do follow you. I do follow that account. Never mind.
Yeah, I just had to throw a little plug in there. I figure, you know, with the great comic series, they can see some of the books we're talking about, because all the books I find, I like doing it, I'll post all the keys I find, all the minor stuff, covers I think that are cool. Some of them aren't worth nothing, but I'm a little retarded and like, hey, that's a great cover. Has no value. I got a whole short box full of books. I'm just like, that's a pretty sweet cover.
Right. So, but I mean, that's the thing about the comic world is that it's not really, it doesn't have to be valuable to the world. It has to be valuable to you.
That's very much my collection. I've cut some of it out for space and, you know, obviously other reasons, but I've got so many books that it's just cool to me. There are a lot of these books, not that I don't have any, but a lot of the books, they're not really worth nothing. I'm just like, that's a cool cover.
Right.
You know, I got, just so many. Like I said, I got a whole short box of just things like, that's a really cool cover.
I mean, you know, you find a first appearance of like White Tiger or China White or something like that. It's like, ooh, and that's awesome for you. I mean, it's worth like, what, $3, something like that? But to you...
China White is worth $3. Not to cut you off, but it's a fun little story when we're talking about Comic-Con. $3. So it's a $3 book. It's Green Arrow Year 1, Number 3. It's a book I've really wanted to get. I wanted to get Year 1 in general, but this is a book I want to get because I like China White's character. She's only in like 4 or 5 comic issues.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Year 1, and she's in one issue of Green Arrow, which I have. It's Green Arrow, Black Canary. I have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in this one book. It's a $3 book at best. Comic-Con, and this is what I was talking about the money last year or whatever year I went last. So that's I'm there, cool. And I found one Sunday. Okay, so the Comic-Con's ending. It's almost over. It's like 5 o'clock. They're packing up.
Yeah, so everybody's packing up, ready to move out.
And I don't have – I got a little bit of cash left because it's Comic-Con. You know, I'm pretty much broke here. And I found this book in these people's thing. I'm like, it's $3. I'm like, look, I'll give you $1 for it right now. Because it was the only loose bill I had. I was like, I'll give you $1. You could sell this book. And believe it or not, this nothing book, they're like, nah. No, we can't make that deal. We're just gonna wait to next year or the next con. And I'm like, over $2. You know, it's closing time. You can get rid of this book. You can sell. You can make a buck as opposed to $3. You know what I mean? Like, you chintzy bastards.
Like, how much of a hit are you really gonna take? Like, that's one less burrito from Taco Bell. Oh my. You know?
Yeah. I mean, for some of these key issues or issues like that, who the hell, other than me and maybe a few other like-minded people, who's looking for China White? It isn't like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it ain't like you're looking for, like, first appearance of the Joker kind of thing. You know, it's fucking China White.
Yeah, she literally is in, Year 1? What's that, like 5 issues?
It's, 6.
So 6 issues. I don't know if she's in all of them. And then she's in that one other issue. Her entire comic career is like 6 issues. Like, it's not like people are knocking down this book.
Right. I bet you if it was Stiltman or El Jaguar, it would only be $1.
You wish, buddy. El Jaguar has become a key issue. That book's actually went up significantly.
Well, that's because of the booty smack. That's Daredevil smacking Black Widow's ass that became a meme, you know, and then that's the only reason for that. Not really so much a key, but since the meme is so damn popular, it's almost like Batman slapping Robin. You know, that issue went up crazily in price. Fucking viral bullshit.
But because of that, I do have that sweet-ass all-new Wolverine variant where X-23 is slapping Deadpool.
Yeah,
love it.
That is a lot of fun. You are welcome. Purchase that Collector's Corner Parkville.
Yes. Back when Ray was in town, every now and then I'd get these wonderful supply drops. Hey, I was out. Here you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's back in the day.
Oh, man. I miss it. It was always nice. Like,
Now you still get supply drops from me, because when, like, some of the stores down here have, like, sales and shit, and, like, fill a box, I'll find a whole bunch of shit for you. You still get drops. Don't even act like you don't.
Hey, that's only because last time there was fill a box, you're like, well, you and Jen are doing great. I got these two Hellblazers, but the rest of this long box.
Yeah, it's a good supply drop, man.
Yeah, actually, I did. Well, actually, was I got a lot of the variants on that one. I think thanks to your little trip is how I got most of those Teen Titan Go variants. I have a lot of them.
Oh yeah, I found a lot of them for you. I like the Halloween variants, the Monster Month ones. Like the Flash is the zombie and Batman is Frankenstein and shit like that is really cool. So I collect those when I see them.
I got one of those. I was at what was that comic shop by you called? I can't remember the name, but
Atlas Comics in Charlottesville. Atlas. Yeah,
I was there and I saw this comic variant that just I had to have. It was a Superman mock of Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and it was just kind of like,
oh yeah, I remember that.
I absolutely was like, I need this. I don't care. And that's going down. I will put some of this other stuff I actually need to read back, which like I didn't because it was cheap, but
yeah,
I love that cover. That is so freaking cool.
Yeah. there was something I saw that I had to have, and that was the fucking Toxic Avenger from Marvel. Yeah, right. Toxic Avenger, you know, the movie, that low-budget-ass movie. Had its own comic series because Toxic Crusaders was out on TV, a kids cartoon. But Toxic Avenger had a 12 issue mini through Marvel. And I'm like, fuck it. It's fill a box. I'm going to fill it. I have the entire run of the Toxic Avenger. Don't ask.
Hey,
don't judge, but I do.
That's the power of fill a box. Back way, way back, 2011 ish. When we were going to a sweaty-ass basement and they would say the greatest things that are long since dead of things like, you could fill a long box for $20.
Right.
Oh, how much crap were we just like, man, fuck it, gotta fill the box.
Right. And you know what? I wish that, you know, we had some of the knowledge that we have now, especially me, now that back then. Because we could have cleaned house, man. We could have been living good had I known what we know now. You know what I mean?
We passed on so much.
Especially now with, like, you know, the Key Collector app, which is an essential for anybody that's bargain hopping or out in a comic store in general. The Key Collector app, it's the shit. It will give you information about pretty much every key that you can think of. Nick that runs the app, he's done a great job on that app, and I suggest anybody go and download it, especially if you're a serious comic collector. Go get that. Yeah.
And if you find something that's not on there, He will add it. He's very cool and he's very nice. Like he is so into it. It's so awesome. You're like, hey, could you add this to it? There's like one you miss. Oh, not a problem. Bam, it's on there. Like,
right.
And he's forever updating. He's forever putting the work in there. Man does really good work for his app.
Yep, and he'll actually be on the Gorilla Brain. I can't even say my own damn show's name. Gorilla Brain podcast coming up very soon. So it'll be cool to have a discussion with him.
Whenever Ray can fully pronounce the name.
Yeah, the coffee gave me the jitters.
Then you're drinking the right kind.
Yeah. I put a lot of sugar in here. Mm. Yeah, but the Key Collector app, available on Android and iOS, and also a desktop version.
Huh.
Yeah. They just launched that not too long ago, so really cool. Yeah, shit.
That is cool, and I guess if we're putting that one out there, I guess we should also mention the fantastic CLZ.
Oh,
get
yeah.
That and never have duplicates again.
You know, that app is kind of expensive, but you know what? You'll never need another comic filing app. I'm telling you, that app is awesome. It's
like 10 or 15 bucks?
It's like $12, I think.
Oh, it's a little cheaper, and it honestly, it's the best 12 bucks I let Ray's wife ever spend on me.
Wow, thanks.
You're welcome. And it's just, you don't ever buy duplicates. That's the best part. It's so easy to scan it. It's so easy to add.
Yeah,
you know, you can screenshot covers you want to get. You can add wish list, and it's in your phone. So you always got everything you got there. You're just like, oh, what issues do I need of this series?
And we used to use a comic book database, which not only is a very shitty ass buggy site, and apparently gave out people's login informations. It was, it would be so buggy online. Like, you'd get there, the Wi-Fi's not right. Now you're sitting there for like 10 minutes trying to get a good spot. And this one, it works so good, and it's in your phone. And believe me, as when you're comicking on a budget and you're just trying to get a series done, this way you're not buying 30 copies of the same book, kind of like Ray still does.
Yeah, it still happens from time to time. I have no idea how it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Did the same thing myself last year. Thought I was finally going to complete the Ark of Snow, but it turns out I just rebought the pieces I already had.
Oh, Legends of the Dark Knight?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good... I had that whole run. That was a really good series, man. Not just the snow part, but all the arcs. I enjoyed them
Eventually, I'll get one and two, and then I'll be able to read it.
Except Batman Jazz. No. Never again.
Yeah, that was basically a spin-off kind of thing. But the good thing about Batman Jazz, and I think we might have talked about it before, is if you're a Batman fan and you love jazz, guess what? As always, Batman's got you covered.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not really, but it's interesting that Batman, more than any character I've ever seen from any company, has every niche you could possibly think of.
It's true.
Like you don't want kids to step on mines? Batman's there. You like jazz?
Mm-hmm.
Batman's there. You got a vampire thing? Yep, Batman's got you covered. Like samurai, yep, Batman's got you covered.
You want a Western? You're a Western fan? When Batman dies and he goes back in time, you know he's a pirate. He's a fucking cowboy. It's all there.
Yeah, I mean it's so crazy. You like Ninja Turtles, but still want to read some Batman? Guess what? Still got you covered. Like he's everywhere. It's so weird. There's a book I even reviewed on YouTube because I was blown away by it. There's a weird, obscure festival in Barcelona. Guess what? Batman's got a one-shot dedicated to that for whatever reason.
That's weird.
It was weird enough I did the review because I'm just kind of like, why does this exist? Who was like, man, you know, I have to go to work today and write my Batman comic for a living, but... I really liked that festival in Barcelona. That was freaking sweet. You know what? Maybe Batman goes to Barcelona. Maybe that happens. It's so weird to me.
I mean, why not? I have a Superman comic that's Superman for the kitties or the cats or something like that. He's like saving a cat. It's all about him saving this cat. Yeah.
In your house, that actually makes 100% sense.
True. But, I mean, it exists. And there's a comic niche for everybody.
It really is.
It's
one of those things when people mention, you know, comics or even anime to that degree, I'm always like, you know, believe it or not, the medium is so varied that whatever you're into, there's something for you. Like if you look, there's everything. Comics, they don't always get promoted as much as the Marvel and DC stuff. But I mean, there's everything from grim fairy tales to, you know, aliens, predators, Jason, horror, whatever you want.
Fucked up stories, you know, you got a fucked up personality. There's stories out there, you know, like sex criminals and stuff like that. I mean, there's just something out there. Nailbiter, if you like serial killers and shit, Nailbiter is for you. I mean, there's so many niches for everybody. There's something for everybody out there.
Yeah, there really is. If, you know, like I myself, I can't read regular books. It's the only area of my life I have some sort of ADD thing going on.
No, you're not
I
alone
just
in that.
Can't.
You're not alone in that. You're not alone in that because my sister-in-law she doesn't have the imaginative function in her brain to, you know, imagine all of it. So it's just like I'm reading these books, but I can't see them. You know what I mean? Like it's really weird.
I think it's because of how close I have to read because of my vision. It's just something about it. Like it's not that I can't imagine it, but it's just something about that cold black and white. It's just that close. And it's just, I don't know. I just can't do it. The last time I tried was right before Force Awakens. I made it halfway through a Star Wars book and I'm just like, I just can't, I can't do it. But when it comes to comics,
all day.
It's all good.
I've seen you go all day. It was pretty impressive. You started in the morning and ended late at night. It was pretty impressive. I think you put in like 12 hours.
Yeah, it was
more.
my
my last visit, I went ahead and took out Ray's Flash and Jen's Suicide Squad collection. I read the entire runs. Both of them had, what was it, like 50 or 60 books?
It was like 52 issues at the time for each, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. When I'm in the mood to read, especially at Ray's Huff, which I have to give him credit, the coffee's usually flowing. Coffee's there. I'll read all day. I don't give a shit.
That's right.
That's how I do. And through that, I realized that Suicide Squad is mostly fun, a little iffy, and Flash is, well, there's a reason it didn't make Ray's continued list.
That's got scrapped out of my pool list. So
there's one series in the run. It was called the Rogues.
Rogues War or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was like Rogues War or something, and it was really good. It was about the Rogues finally getting like this one big push on the Flash, and it was really, really good. But the problem with the series is even with like Godspeed, they introduce these new characters and then immediately sweep them under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I kind of felt like the series was taking too many cues from CW, which is kind of like, you know, CW Flash is okay. There's some fun to be had and some eh. But I'm not reading the comics for CW. I want just Flash, and he's so whiny in that one a bit. And I don't know. I just didn't feel like there was a good mix of, because Flash, especially Barry's, always been a little down at times. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a good mix in that series. You're just like, dude, come on. Just kick some ass and be happy about it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Godspeed stuff. I thought that was the coolest part of the whole Rebirth thing. And then he goes away, and then he comes back, and then he goes away. It's like here again, gone again. So it's like reverse Flash, just as Godspeed now.
Yeah, I definitely thought he was interesting. I love the character suit. I like the suit.
Yeah.
Still, though, thanks to the one thing I will give CW Flash is I really want
Wally
that.
West.
No. But I want to see the CW's Flash of Zoom. I want to see that suit in mm-hmm. the comics, because that suit was badass.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and so that got cut. I wasn't impressed with it. I'm sorry to say it, but I just wasn't impressed. I cut a lot of things, and some of them were pretty early, like Nightwing. Once the whole Raptor stuff was over with, I got bored, and that got cut. Because I loved Raptor. Raptor was a new character that they made. Really cool. And then he goes away, and then I'm just like, well, now I'm bored.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it does seem that at least a little bit DC's following the old WWE mentality. Here's a new character. Oh, that's pretty cool. And we're not doing nothing with him. Well, what the hell?
Yeah, what was the point of it all? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, they just
that's gone. Just like, you know, it's just like some of these events. Like, you know, they'll make all these big changes and then a couple months later change it back. You know, like, oh, the Hulk's dead in this issue, you know. I guess it's just to push sales or whatever. But, you know, the Hulk's dead in this issue 3 months later. Hey, Bruce is back. Uh-huh. Takes away all impact. Kills me.
It's one of the things we discuss all the time is events, major book-crossing events, ones that bring, you know, entire Justice League or entire members of Avengers, whatever series you have. I really feel they should be maybe every 2 years.
Yeah.
You can have a big event. Like a 0 year, like in your own universe, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. As long as the writing's, you know, that good. But these big events, when you have them, like right now, it's basically major event, next event, major event, minor event. And you're so used to them now, it's become like, you know, pay-per-view events, where they used to feel like this big event, now there's one every month. You're like, it's just the next one. Yeah, you know, it takes some of that punch out of it. You just... You know, I wish they would make them more sporadically, so when they hit, you really, really felt something.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're not good. Like, I'm currently reading Heroes in Crisis, and I've read the first two issues or three issues, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good, and it's fine. I'm not saying that they're all bad, but just generally speaking, I really feel they need to be more pushed back. So that way, when they do hit, you know, things are going along, you know, maybe you've been reading Batman. And for 2 years, Batman's dealing with his stuff. But overall, things are fine. And then, Crisis Zone, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so that way it's just like, it just hits harder.
Yeah, well, it can all be traced back to fucking Secret War. Or Secret Wars. That's where it all started. they were just trying to sell some toys, made a 12-part mini to incorporate the toys, and then DC saw what it did and how popular it was and how much money it made, and they're like, well, we can reset our whole universe like this. Crisis on Infinite Earths the next year. And then you wouldn't see another event from either company until Infinity Gauntlet. So you're talking maybe, see, Infinity Gauntlet was 92, about 8 years for Marvel. 8 years in between arcs.
Yeah, I thought that was just way more to do it. Because, I mean,
they didn't have a plan then.
Well, yeah, but I kind of wish we could go back to the spacing out or, you know, whatever, just do that sort of thing. Because obviously then they were just like, oh, hey, let's try that. And unless it's otherworldly stuff, like, say, the Secret Empire, which I'm still 5 issues from being able to read, I'm fine with that because it's a separate universe. So that's kind of like the Injustice thing where you can have a little fun. And I get doing something like that. That's fine. But for continuity big things, space it out. Now, I still get the point of them. You know, I really do like it because, you know, maybe some storylines didn't work out. It's still a really good medium from going, okay, we messed up. We tried this. This didn't work. So jumble it up a little bit. And it keeps things fresh and interesting. So I do get the point of it.
Right. It's also a way to mix up teams. You know, like, okay, like two members of this team die. They go and form their own group. And then we have a whole other spinoff series. Like, it's a way to kind of reboot in a way.
Yeah. And, you know, I get doing them, and you know, a lot of them are still pretty good. There are events out there that I really liked, like Original Sin, like Axis. Like, both of those were pretty cool for Marvel. There's some really cool ideas. But when you just immediately, you know, 6 months later, you swap it out and it doesn't matter anymore, and I just, you know, it kind of hurts. Or you'll just, yeah.
What was
the last one? The Battlegrounds thing. I never read the main story, but I've read some of the spinoffs, and they were pretty cool. But since then, Marvel's just reset it again, and now that shit even matters.
You talking about Battleworld?
Battleworlds, I'm sorry, Battleworlds.
You're talking about during Secret Wars, when the Marvel was going to reboot everything.
Yeah, and then they're like, hey, they made all these different stories, and some of them were really cool, and then they're like, eh, who cares?
Yeah, they make God Doom. I love God Doom. he was so cool. Even the Infinity Gauntlet had no power over him. Yeah, get that shit out of here. That little trinket.
Last time we saw Doom, he wasn't looking so good in the latest Fantastic Four film. Suck it.
He doesn't look good in any Fantastic Four film. But we're not talking about movies. We're talking about comics.
They could have ran with that some more. Or I would have been fine with them doing maybe permanent God Doom, because at least as far as I've read, and I don't read everything, obviously, I have a very small window into current comics, but as far as I know, you don't really see Doom kind of doing anything, not that he has to, but God Doom would definitely put him more into the center stage again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love Thanos, I really do, he's my favorite Marvel villain.
But he's overplayed right now. Like,
but one,
he's like the big bad in every fucking book these days.
Yeah, one, you know, because of the MCU, like you were saying, he's in everything, which he doesn't need to be. I really like the character. And two, and I've been saying this for such a long time, even before the MCU, God damn it, he doesn't always need the goddamn Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
You could tell stories with him. He's a great character on his own right, and I really hate the fact that they've, because of the Gauntlet success, and now even more so with the movie, it's almost this crutch on the character that he always has to have the Gauntlet, or the story has to feature the Gauntlet. You know, I'd like to see him almost go back to being, like, maybe a minor villain. Like, maybe he forms a colony on Titan, and he becomes, like, almost like Dr. Doom, but, like, he's a Titan, and he's maybe the dictator over his people, or maybe, like, a Sinestro kind of role. I'd like to see them do something with him then, you know, I got the Gauntlet for the 40 billionth time because for some reason nobody could put a lock on this damn thing, and I'm doing the universe. You know what I mean? I just want to see. I know the character can be used in other ways. He's a great, you know, tactician. He knows how to fight. He's very smart. He's got, you know, enough power behind him. You know, I just want to see them tone it down a little bit. Maybe use him a little less and make him a little bit more doable without the goddamn Gauntlet.
That would be nice. I'd like to see him create new villains. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love Galactus. I love Annihilus. You know what I mean? But come on, give me something, man. Thanos with the Gauntlet, it's played to death.
Yeah, and what's the new characters we get? Thane. Lame Thanos. Like, that's who you create. Like, nobody likes Thane. He sucked.
Yeah, well, that's why he's dead.
Yeah, it's...
Thanos is dead right now, I think. Yeah, he got his head cut off. Gamora cut his head off.
He dies all the time. He'll be back.
I know.
Which I'm fine with.
Is it too much to ask that I get the Thanos copter back? Can I please have the damn helicopter? Come on.
Right. And if you're a fan of the show and you have that issue, feel free to mail it to me. DM Ray for the address.
We do love the Thanos copter. I got the Cosmic Cube in my helicopter.
I would have loved to seen it in the movie. Just that's where Thanos ends after the snap. Instead of disappearing, he flies off in the Thanos copter.
Don't tease me. That would be the greatest moment in all of cinema if I could get the Thanos copter. Maybe while he's dreaming on his little farm at the end of Infinity or Endgame, the beginning of Endgame. Maybe he's dreaming and he's flying in that fucking helicopter.
No, I got it. The first time you see Thanos in Endgame, they play that song for the beginning of Predator, and you see him in the Thanos copter.
Oh.
Yes. You all know what I mean. Come on, that would be amazing.
Is it so wrong that I just want that? Just as a visual. Just give me it as a deleted scene. I don't even care. You know, just put it in the extras of the fucking DVD or something. Just give me that. Just him flying in the helicopter, because it's priceless.
Exactly. And getting back on what we're saying, is they also, every time they do new characters, from what I'm seeing, they don't really run with them. They make them, like, even like Harper Rowe, who I thought was really cool, she doesn't really do too much. She kind of felt, I think she might be on a Teen Titans now somewhere, on one of those groups, but like she was like really cool and then kind of fell through the cracks. And then they, you know, there's some of the characters in the Wolverine universe. The one's a thief. She was in Wolverine, who I sadly can't think of her name, but she was a really cool character. She disappeared. And I'm really hoping that doesn't happen to, I believe her name is Trinary. She was this cool, like tech mutant. She could mess with like computers and stuff like that. And she was really cool. And she was an X-Men Red. And I really liked the character. And I kind of hope she's another one that doesn't fall through the cracks. So far, the only character I've seen that's really been around lately is kind of the ultimate cop-out, but she works and adds a really good dynamic, was Honey Badger, who's basically a clone of a clone. And now wherever X-23 goes, she's there, which is fine, because she's a fond of a character.
She's the Robin.
She very much is. And it's kind of like, how come that's the only character that I can think of that's really having any kind of impact? You know, and I've only read certain issues of Tom King's very phenomenal run of Batman, and he made this character called the Signal or something like that. Mm-hmm. I've only seen a little bit of him.
Yeah, so the Signal was one of the Robins. Remember We Are Robin?
Yeah. I didn't read it, I think
his name was Duke or something like that, and then he became one of the Robins, and then now he's the Signal.
And doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
and... Yeah, they make these great new characters.
Like I said, like Raptor, like Godspeed, but they do nothing with them.
Or whatever happened to that awesome Talon guy? Where's he at?
Oh, Talon? Talon from New 52? The rogue Talon that was separate from the Court of Owls?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to fucking Felix Harmon?
I was going to say.
Yeah, the owl killer, essentially. Yeah,
where'd he go? He was a cool-ass character. And it's
you know what's funny is that I talked to Scott about that, and he said, oh, we're going to bring him back. It was him and Tinian. They said, well, we're going to bring him back. They never came back. You wasted an incredible character with a lot of hype and a lot of build in that book.
Yeah, and to my knowledge. He's out there in one of the books I don't read. I ain't saying it.
It's wasted. But Talon was a great book. I mean, it only ran 18 issues, but that shit was fantastic.
Yeah, he was really cool. I like Talon.
And it's not like the Court of Owls just went away. They're in the Rebirth universe. They're there.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I just don't get why you create these great characters and then put a lot of hype behind them, and then they just fade away because you have to sell books, so you're gonna do a fucking Joker arc or a Riddler arc. Or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's not just DC. It's Marvel. I just don't understand it.
Unless it's characters we don't care about, then they do seem to last. Like this Ironheart character, who I'm sorry is very lazily created, and I don't care what anybody says. Look at her first issue; that art is nasty on that cover. I do not know what you're going for.
Kind of like that Silver Surfer from a couple years ago that looked like it looked like the old Iceman from X-Men number one. You know what I'm talking about? Like the sludgy, sludgy look. Yeah,
it was nasty. And part of the thing that Marvel's done recently
is they'll create these new characters, and all they are is newer versions of old characters. Yeah. But I don't like the way,
like Weapon H.
Yeah, well, the thing that I don't like is I don't like that when Marvel creates a new character, they have to do it by almost stepping on their old characters. And I think I've discussed this with you before. Like I use this example a lot is Ironheart. So when they created Ironheart, because
is that the girl? Is that Riri?
Yeah, that's Riri, who might be a fine character. I haven't read her books, but how she was created, I don't like, because they're like, okay, now you have this new girl who's younger than Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. She's a woman. You know, all these little things, and she's smarter than him, better than him. So the first thing you do is you make a new character who gets the suit and is smart, and the first thing you do is this character's a piece of shit. Now, I it's not...
You mean Tony Stark's a piece of shit?
Yeah. They make her, like, to be better, and you know, it's not a sexist thing that I'm coming at it. My thing is, right, why does she have to be better? Why isn't it just like, okay, he's really smart because he's an engineer, and she's really smart because she's into, like, I don't know, nanotechnology or physics or something. Like, why isn't it just like, instead of him being a complete outclassed by the newer model, why isn't it just like, well, this is her area? This is his area. Kind of like real life. Like, people generally aren't better. Like, you might be better at this. They're better at this. Mm-hmm. Like, why not that? Like, why is it whenever they make a new character, at least from what I'm seeing, I haven't read all these books, but from my point of view, they're just like, how do we make a new character? Okay, let's take an Avenger, give them the same power, but now they're younger and better. Screw the old ones.
Same thing happened with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Kate Bishop.
Yeah. Who... You know, and I can't stress this enough. I'm not saying that these characters are bad characters. I haven't read it all. But I just don't like that that's how that Marvel, to me, is presenting these characters. Like, you like this piece of shit, right? No. This. You know, kind of like, just like Spider-Man and Miles. And I've gotten a little bit more into Miles, and I've been giving him more of a shot. But when they made Miles, they're like, yeah, forget about that lame bastard. This one can go invisible, and he's got electric shocks. He's a much better Spider-Man than that piece of shit Peter Parker will ever be. Fuck him.
So it's okay to not do it to the heroes. It offends you when they do it to the heroes, but when they do it to the villains, you don't have so much of a problem. Like, you know, how many Scorpions were there? Three? How many Venoms were there? You know, you think about it like that. I mean, but you don't say anything about that.
I don't know them as well.
Well,
even Venom. That was another one, right? So Venom comes out, and then they make Carnage, who's really awesome. I love the black and the red.
Right.
And he's a serial killer. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And it makes sense why he's maybe a little bit more of a threat. He's a little younger, and the guy that is in him isn't like Venom. He's a straight-out serial killer, so he's more violent and savage. And I got that. Mm-hmm. I got given the edge. But then they just keep making more symbiotes. And like, hey, you thought these two lame assholes were good. Now there's this. And I just kind of feel like they could make characters in a better way. You know what I mean?
Not just improving on old characters. Not just giving them a new skin.
Or heaven forbid, you know, if you want another character, why not fully make a new character? Instead of like, here's a new genius with an Iron Man suit. Why not, here's a genius with her own kind of suit. You know, give them something as opposed to just cut and paste. Like, show me a little creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get some characters, so many have been done in so many ways that you're going to have similarities, and that's fine. Like, you know, maybe she saw what Tony Stark did, and she's in the same field, and they got her an idea to make her own suit, but give the suit more of a personality, because as far as I'm seeing, it's basically just Iron Man's suit.
But you got nothing to say on War Machine, though.
War Machine was one of the ones where generic kind of made sense. So Tony Stark's a private company based. Well, it's not private, but it's his own thing.
Yeah,
so it makes the Iron Man suit. And I get how it works. The government wanted one. And I could kind of see how that would make sense. So the government wants a suit. And so he's like, okay, I'll trust. And I don't know the details, but basically he's like, okay, I'll trust Rhodey, his friend.
Well, Rhodey was Iron Man. While Tony was off sobering up, Rhodey was Iron Man. So why not? And he was a popular character, especially amongst the African-American demographic. So they said, okay, well, this is successful. People like Rhodey as Iron Man. Let's give him his own armor, call it War Machine, and then Tony has a sidekick.
And it fit, though. To me, that felt not because he worked, so his friend
right, it was
worked
more,
for the
it
army.
Was more organic. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. And, think about it. So you make these weapons. Mm-hmm. He's in the army. Well, you want your friend to be safe. He's already proven that he could handle himself. So you give him his suit. And his suit, if you look at it, is very military. It's a war machine. Mm-hmm. Tony's got that style and that flash, which fits him. It's very advanced. But War Machine's got that very tank-like suit.
Right.
And I was like,
big
it's
ass guns
still basically
shit.
Another guy in a suit, but it definitely got that organic feel. Like, okay, this makes sense, and I could see this happening. It doesn't feel like, we got to sell more books. So let's take his friend and, he's a black guy, so we'll get that demographic, and we'll give him an Iron Man suit. To me, when you read the story and the amount of time it takes before he became Iron Man for a while and before he got that, it just felt, it flowed better, and it felt like they put the story behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's really all I'm saying. If you want to make these characters and you can't make it fully creative, or you want to be similar to the hero, I'm fine with, but just put in the work so I feel like you actually tried. You're not just like, well, we have this little social justice fucking agenda. We need this character to sell toys or books to this demographic, so let's just slap that in there. You know what I mean? Just put the work in and show me that you, at least if you're going to do these characters, motivations for creating the side, but you give a shit enough to give them personality and characters of themselves.
Right. And try to make it flow, like make it organic, so it's not just like, here's your new character, like you were saying about Riri. Here's your new Iron Man, but we like Tony. We don't give a shit. Here's Riri. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're gonna cancel the Iron Man series so Riri's book can, go up in sale prices or whatever. I mean, I get it, it's a business model. We get it. But at the same time, you're going to piss a lot of fans off.
Pretty much. And then they had that statement, I think it was a year ago now, where they're like, yeah, we're not selling enough books, and it's your fault. You remember that? That when Marvel came out and were like, yeah, fuck you guys?
Yeah, I pretty much remember that, yeah. In so many words, they said pretty much just, you either buy the books or go fuck yourself. That's pretty much it. We're going to do what we want. Yeah, but Disney has a lot of say-so in that now because they own Marvel, so... cleared by the board, it's not going to go.
I get that to some degree. I know we all have our own boss to go to, but I just don't think in any circumstances you can blame the people. If you're not writing good stories, can you really blame us for not buying it? I mean, and that's one of the small problems with comics is, so there's so many series running. If you're making we'll just continue to pick on Riri because I don't know the character that well, and it's fun to pick on. If you're making this Ironheart series and I don't want to read it because I don't like the product and I go read Avengers because that's got Tony in it, it's not my fault your book sucks. If you're writing stuff I don't want to read or nobody wants to read, then is it really our fault? Even Disney, I think, needs to get up off that high horse and kind of like, come on, we'll give and take here. If you make good stories with characters we like, obviously people will buy them.
Yeah, that's true. That's how, they took chances back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, they would create new characters. Take Daredevil, for instance, right? So, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee create Daredevil. There was no cameo appearance in any other book. It's just like, boom, here's the man without fear, Daredevil. They took a chance, okay? And it's still running today. Why can't they do that now? Why can't they just go, here's a new character? Because they need that safety net. You know what I mean?
And it's only Marvel and DC, as far as I can tell, because Image obviously does it all the time.
Here's the thing about Image is that it's creator-owned. I mean, yeah, you're published through Image, but all of your work is your own. And that's where the difference varies in between Marvel and DC, because Marvel and DC have higher masters. They have to appease the masters, okay?
Uh-huh. It shows.
Right, because you have to appease Warner Brothers, you have to appease Disney, and they're not exactly nickel and dime, companies. They're multi-billion-dollar companies, so why would they take a risk? I mean, even if it's a small, insignificant comic,
And I think, unfortunately,
take a chance,
because of that, yeah, and if not more so, That should be more of a reason. You're Disney. You're making billions of dollars a year.
Right.
Okay? You can afford to make a run of, I don't know, some new character. And, you know, you can take the shot because in comic terms, if you try one book every 6 months, if you try a new book once every 6 months, the number of issues you print, even if it flops, it's not really putting a dent in Disney.
No.
But what if it takes off? You know, give people, you know, something instead of this just same old, man. I mean, I love, just like anybody else, I got characters, you know, Batman, Daredevil, you know, Lady Shiva, just characters I like that are been around, they're there, I'll buy the stuff with a minute, X-23, what have you. But I still want to see new stuff, you know, I'd like to see new villains and keep them around. Like, you know, we did it not too long ago. They introduced the Court of Owls. You took a shot. You, obviously, Scott Snyder can sort of do what he wants. He made the Court of Owls this cool thing, and now they're a new Batman villain.
Yep. And they were in Nightwing. They were in Nightwing. They were trying to court Damian. They were, you know, they were really involved because Scott Snyder, they allowed him to take a chance.
Yeah, and look how much better the DC universe is because of this new threat, because they can be all through it. You can have Court of Owls, man. You can have offshoots of them. You can have, you can bring back the Talons. You can do so much with them in the world of DC in behind the scenes kind of thing, and it's really cool because of it. And I can't think of any other new characters like you did Godspeed. Here's a new Speedster. And meh, throw them aside. You created Gotham Girl, this new like Superman, but in the Batman universe,
yeah,
closer to Supergirl. And you killed off the one unit. You killed off her, even though they had interesting little stories. You're already done with them in like four issues. And it's kind of like, so we either get no new characters or you create new characters and we throw them away almost instantly.
It seems to be that way. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you got these, like I said, you got these billion-dollar companies. No, and it's, and printing a comic is nothing. Yeah, you got to pay the artist. Yeah, you got to pay the writer. Yeah, you got to pay the published, you know, to get it made and all that. It costs literally nothing to take a chance, especially for billion-dollar companies.
When you're Disney, I'm telling you. Yeah.
You know, they just play this safety net bullshit. You know, give me something new. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. Stop doing the mix and match nonsense that you've been doing for the past, I don't know, 20 some odd years. Give us something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Create, do some more new characters. The last new character that was really, really cool from DC that I can think of, unless I'm missing one,
Raptor.
They did, what was their name?
They were so cool.
Yeah, that's because you said Raptor. You threw me off now, because then I'm like, oh yeah, like Wraith. Yeah, like Wraith. There you go. Spider-Man PS4. That's really big, right? Bring the Wraith character back from Yuri, because she is awesome in the comics and in the game. I'd like to see her more. I really like her character. I'd like to see more of that, but I don't want to have to go read all. Like, I want to see new stuff. Use the character. How about that? No, nothing.
Absolutely.
It's just sad.
Yeah. It's just the current state of comics that we're in, and it's frustrating, but we still buy into it. That's how they get us.
Well, I mean, luckily for all the fans involved, is they don't do too much new, but you still have really good runs out there. You know, like Tom King's Batman's, from all the arcs I've run except for the Monster Man thing, really good. Mm-hmm. Obviously, anything that's got Tom Taylor's name or Scott Snyder that I've read, they're really
fanboy. Fanboy. Sorry, I coughed into there. I'll be sure to edit that out.
I own it. If you do good work, and especially if it's consistent like that, mm-hmm. that's how you sell the books. If I see an artist or a creator, writer, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and I know that everything they've done has been good, and you let them start a new book, which just happened, I'm going to read that book because I know it's going to be good. You know, and especially if you give them like an offshoot and let them kind of work a little bit, mm-hmm. if you let these talents like Charles Soule, like Mark Waid, like any of the guys I've mentioned.
Oh, man, I got a tickle in my throat, fanboy.
it's not my fault that you're only due. If it doesn't have Romita art, you don't care.
Oh, other than, that's so fucking low.
Other than how Ray works, you know, that's how you do it. Let these, if you let these creators go, and even more though than DC and Marvel, they're already doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you step back and just let them go, kind of like X-Men Red that just got canceled. There's no reason that shit couldn't have ran alongside another book.
They were folding it all into Uncanny X-Men. That was the plan all along. They just didn't tell you about it, because then you wouldn't buy the issues.
I'm just saying, there's no, you know, why? And then they switched the writer, which luckily from what I'm hearing from you, it's still good.
Yes.
But just, you know, I want to see more of the writers getting to do what they want, because I want to see the stories they want to tell. I don't want to see like, well, they're doing a really good story. But unfortunately, Marvel just called and said, well, they can't do this now. Or DC says they can't do this. Like, seriously, just let the people work. When they work and they're doing their thing, you're getting a better product than the higher-ups come with anyway. You know what I mean? Just
absolutely.
Stay out of it.
You know, what's funny is that you say that is that, you know, I always somehow find my way back to The Dark Knight Returns. Okay? That was supposed to be like out of the universe, you know, just another story in Elseworlds. It was the original Elseworlds. And, but they really had no say-so in what they did. They weren't critiquing Frank Miller. They're like, okay, we want you to do this story. Okay, well, do it, and then we're going to put it out. And then he did it, and then it was a huge success. So then it spawned the Elseworlds stories. But I'm just saying, like, they just let Frank work.
And look what happened.
They didn't go over his shoulder. They weren't critiquing, you got to take this out, you got to take that out. It was none of that shit. So they just let these creators create. And they don't do that anymore. Now it's just all business, man. It's just
especially in my opinion, especially in Marvel, because it's kind of like, well, the MCU is doing this now, so
you know, it's not just Marvel. Not just Marvel. DC is doing the same nonsense.
They are. But I always use Marvel because it's something everybody knows because everybody watches the MCU. Even I do. For better or worse, they make an MCU film. You're going to go see it, but you see it in the comics.
Right.
All the tones are close to the MCU. So all the MCU characters are there. And it's just kind of like, come on. Like, stop. Just let them do what they want to do. And maybe they do. Maybe that's how we get something like, what is that book called that you were interested in? The New Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what that is. And I'm just saying, I want more of that. I want all the big companies, is what I would like to see,
mm-hmm.
is for them to just step off. Like, just
give a little bit more creative freedom. Let these people do what they want to do. No, maybe not to an extent of what they want to do, because then we'd have like 15 Garth Ennis's out there. But give them room. Give them some breathing room. I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, that's very much what I want to say. Just back off and let them go. Take away, you know, like, oh, you can't put these characters together, or the characters can't get married, or you can't do this, can't do that.
Well, you can't do this because we're doing this event coming up, so you're going to have to write around that. That's another fucking quicksand hole that people fall into, is that they're limited.
Yeah, I mean, how many books that I know you've told me about it before, like, oh, yeah, this was really good. Then this event happened, and the book went to shit.
Right.
What was it? Was it Winter Soldier? I know it was one of the ones. It was recent. You were telling me about how it was really good, and then this big event happens, and you're like, this, meh.
Oh, that could have been a lot of different books.
Yeah, how sad is that? Yeah. When it happens so often, I can't remember the example. That's the biggest problem. Oh, this arc's really good. You know, we got, I don't know, the Green Lanterns. They're really doing shit. They're fighting Sinestro. We're having a good time. Oh! But this arc comes in, this big event had to happen, and, well, now DC decided to go this way. So remember that story you were invested in?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? We're done with it. There's no conclusion. The world got blew up and reorganized. Never happened. Moving on.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And another thing that I'm not a fan of is when they change writing teams. Like, you're in the middle of a good story, it's going good, and then they just change writing teams because they couldn't come to terms on their contracts or anything like that, or they want to go work on another book, so they hand it off. I'm not a fan of that at all. Finish what the fuck you start. You know, it's kind of like me, how I write my book. I start it, and I never fucking finish it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have this great idea, and I'll start it, and then I'll stop. But I want to finish it. But point is, they just need to finish what they start.
Yeah, I mean, if the arc's concluded, I can make peace with that. So you've been doing Batman for 2 years. and you finished your story, mm-hmm. and it's done. So all the everything's resolved. There's no loose ends. Now you bring in a new creative team. I'm fine with that.
Right.
But I'm not fine with shit like 2011's Green Lantern, where the book's pretty decent to issue 20, having a good time. Jeff John leaves, issue 20, this great send-off to Jeff Johns. And it's like the very next issue, the guy comes in and is like, yeah, fuck everything you did. Now, I don't know if that was part of the plan, mm-hmm. but that's what it felt like. And once that guy took over, I stuck in for about 3 issues, and then I sold that shit. I gave up on Green Lantern. And the really sad thing is, I like the Green Lantern universe. Mm-hmm. But not only did the writing team change, it did this other thing that comics do. And I know I complain about comics, which is funny because I love them so much, but it's just these things.
You do the same thing with movies. Don't feel bad. You do the same thing with cartoons, animes, anything that we love, we shit on and we love at the same exact time.
Exactly.
That's called a marriage. Go ahead.
Oh, and so another thing that the Green Lantern series used, which is, again, something I've personally experienced. So I'm reading this book and I'm really liking it. And one of the other devices they use in comics is they'll have tie-ins. Now, this wasn't like the Death in the Family tie-in where it's like, here's the whole story. And if you want to read this story, Nightwing, some stuff happens there, but you don't need it. Well, with Green Lantern, part one was Green Lantern, part two was Green Lantern Corps, part three was New Guardians. So now you got to collect 5 or 6 different fucking books to get your story because it isn't a tie-off. It's the next part in the actual story, and I'm not okay with that. I really don't like that.
The Button was the same way when they did the Button in Batman and Flash. I don't collect Batman, but I had to buy it.
But at least that was only one series.
True.
You know what I mean? That wasn't too bad because it was like Batman and Flash are both involved in their series.
Right.
Here's one Batman.
Yeah, so the entire Batverse was included, and then you had to buy Justice League or Teen Titans because, you know, Robin's over there, and, you know, you had to buy Batgirl, and, you know, I get you.
Yeah, for the Button, it worked out because the Button was phenomenal, way better than the actual story. Mm-hmm. And it's only, so if you're already collecting Batman or you're already collecting Flash, it's 2 issues.
Right.
It's only 2 issues, and they had cool holographic covers, so you have to buy them. But then with the Green Lanterns, it was like 5 different books, and this arc was like a 12-parter.
Yeah.
So you're buying several.
Yeah.
And, you know, for like myself, I set a limit. I will spend no more than, on average, $15 on new books a month. That's how I can keep new books and still have money to do other things. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, I'll buy like one random here and there.
So you got to be really picky choosy on what you want to invest in.
Exactly.
You're not alone in that. There's a lot of people out there like that. You know, we comic on a budget. Like we said earlier in the episode, we comic on a budget. It's not...
Shit, we're not all balling. And I know even you do the same thing. It's kind of like, well, you know, because of money, I'm going to read these series. And if I want a new series, you got to exit because you know, just like me, we only got so much you can spend on these new books because they're not cheap.
True.
You know, you might think
$4
Yeah.
Annuals like $6. I mean,
that shit adds up, especially, you know, think about it, right? So you got your limited series. So I do Heroes in Crisis. Mm-hmm. That's $4. Spider-Man's $4. That's $8. And then you figure, okay, so I got my one other book. That's $4. Well, what if they all have annuals at the same time? Well, that's, you know, almost $5 to $6 a piece.
Sometimes $8 or $9 if, like when I was collecting Batman, New 52, some of those were like, yeah, for no real reason, it's $6, it's $5. And, you know, that shit just gets up. And some of us, like, we don't have that.
Right.
You know, I've had to put books on hold till next month because I'm like, you know, all the annuals hit me at the same time. I don't have $30 this week to throw away on books. So I definitely feel some of these practices and some of these things for the comic world need to be toned down a little.
Yep. Oh, man. Would you look at that? The coffee is gone. And just like the coffee, we are out of time. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode and come and see us again. No, I'm not even going to use that tone. That's not even any good. So anyway, so yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah, coffee's done. We're done. See you next time.
Oh, we can't wrap it up like that. We got to wrap it up.
Fuck
them. Oh, that was 2 weeks ago, man. You're so 2 weeks ago.
Damn it.
So before we go, if you're listening to this through the Pulse Podcast app, we thank you very much for your downloads. And if you're not, and you're listening to us through this, go check out the Pulse Podcast app. You can catch it in the Android or the Google Play. You can catch it in the iOS, Apple Store. Check us out. It's not just us, man. We got a couple pop culture shows. We got sports out the fucking wazoo. I'm telling you, we have the best underground talent going in podcasting. So go check us out, the Pulse Podcast app. And it's free. It's absolutely free. Get the best content in podcasting all in one location. So you won't only get our greatness, you will get others as well. So go and do that now. See, that's how you do a fucking plug.
That's why you're here, sir.
That's why I'm the professional.
I leave it to you, sir. I'm perfectly happy with co-host.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Coffee and Comics. See, that's good. We will catch you down the line.
Fuck you, fanboy. You two testosterone-seething He-Man comic book fans finish up with this display of tough guy back and forth. I got some questions I need to answer.
Look, who's in there?
You got to ask me nicely.
Fuck. Oh, Jesus.
Brody, get the hell off.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't start some shit? Oh, fucking...